From a transmitter atop Great Blue Hill, this is WGBH, live, local talk, Boston Public Radio.
This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Emily Rooney.
And I'm Callie Crossley.
Well, Callie, as you know, 2 days after the storm, there is still no shortage of stories out there. In fact, today people were saying that the commute was much worse than it was yesterday, not commute, but traveling around the city. So we're going to be opening up the phone lines today and hearing people's horror stories or some of their good stories, too.
Absolutely. We got more than 2 feet of snow across the state. In Boston, we got 25 inches, the fifth highest snowfall ever for the city. Coastal communities from Quincy to Sandwich were particularly hit hard, and there are about 100,000 homes that are still without power, but we're better than Connecticut.
Yeah. No, yeah. I know. You know, and those are the people who really weren't having any fun with this. Although we got a call over the weekend. Thank you all for calling in, by the way. One woman said it was just delightful. You know, they were home on the Cape and they had a fire going and they had some heat. They didn't have any electricity.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're making the most of it. But people without electricity, that's absolutely miserable. So we're going to be opening up the phone lines, taking your calls. We want to know how the storm has affected you, 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. Of course, Callie, a lot of the conversation over the weekend was about Governor Deval Patrick's travel ban. About 80% of the people who called in to this radio station thought it was a good idea. A lot of people thought maybe he extended it a little too long, but I think there was a method to that madness, too, because he didn't want to end it at noon and have everybody rush out at the same time, you know, start picking up their usual habits, grocery shopping and all of that. But then I was at an event Saturday night where only about half the people showed up, but still a lot of people did. And there were people there who were saying, this is an absolute outrage. It was, you know, It was executive overreach. You know, we didn't need to have a travel ban at all. Let's let people use their own common sense. But I actually don't agree with that. I actually would have come down even a little harder on this because, as you know, streets of Cambridge where you live, I live in the Back Bay, I would have done a ban on parking on the street, period. And I know that's a real nuisance and a problem for a lot of people and there's an expense involved, but the reason people can't get around right now is because there are so many cars still on the streets.
Oh, absolutely, because the cab took me on the side streets and they're totally messed up. And I live in a pretty well-plowed area, so the main street's pretty okay, but the side streets, no. I was absolutely in favor of the governor's travel ban. And when you look at those people who were stuck in their cars, some almost freezing to death on Long Island and in Connecticut, you know why it was important to have done that.
Yeah, and it was amazing how many people heeded it. I mean, the media had a pass, so we could travel around. There was absolutely nobody on the road when we were getting here. My colleague, Edgar B. Hergwick III, who's in the control room with me on Saturday, got a ride in with a snowplow operator, which was great. I couldn't connect with my snowplow operator, so I got a ride from a friend who had a big SUV. But it was great. There was absolutely nobody on the roads. But today is another story. I spoke to a friend of mine who lives in Quincy, 2-hour drive up from the North Shore to here. Our colleague, Tonya Magress, who came in from Dorchester, 2 hours from Dorchester.
Well, it took me forever to get a cab, and I saw what the roads were like. And we want to know how you got to work or if you decided not to go. And by the way, since Boston schools were closed again, a lot of people probably didn't try it, and that was probably a good idea. We're at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. Wanting to hear your survival stories, you can tweet us at Boss Public Radio or write to our Facebook page while you're sitting in traffic. Or maybe you were lucky enough to get on the T that was running, but a little bit slower. We're going to get the Globe reporter Martine Powers here on the line. She's been covering transportation this past weekend. Martine?
Hi, how are you?
Hi. Give us an update on the MBTA service and all things transportation.
So the MBTA officially started running their regular schedule this morning, though General Manager Scott warned everyone, you know, expect delays. If you think that you're trying to get somewhere at 7:15 in the morning, try to plan for 6:45 instead so that you have that extra half an hour because, you know, the trains are going to be running more slowly. And highways as well, you know, even though most of the highways are pretty well plowed, there are some slippery parts as well as a lot of accumulation of snow on the shoulders. And so Secretary Davey was pretty clear to tell people, you know, take it slow, leave extra time in your commute because it's going to be a rough one today.
Did you actually see any of the cars? Are they full? Were they half full, empty? What?
I actually have not been on the T today, but reading, you know, people's rants on Twitter, it seems like most of the cars are pretty full, and some people are a little bit annoyed about delays, but I think most people are a little understanding about the fact that, you know, the T's still getting back up and running and trying to get people where they need to go.
Martine, where do you live, and how did you get to anywhere to yeah. observe all of this?
I live in Dorchester. I was out on the Cape for Saturday into Sunday morning, so I was actually driving back into Boston yesterday morning, and the roads were still pretty precarious. I mean, I saw a lot of people fishtailing on Route 3 and then onto 93. And when I was driving to around South Station yesterday afternoon, I mean, things were still completely packed. A lot of roads that have three lanes were only one lane because there was so much snow on the sides of the road. So it was a pretty tough struggle to get around.
You know, Martine, this is Emily Rooney. One of the big issues for everybody has been where to put the snow. So like these parking lots for people, you know, taking trains, even the entrances, exits to the T stations themselves. I mean, getting there, I live downtown, so half the time you're climbing over a wall, you know, 4 or 5 feet tall, you know, and the places where there is like a dig out, yesterday, for instance, the water was 8-12 inches deep, so you couldn't go through that. You had to walk basically out into the street. So do you have any idea whether the T people have cleared those entrances?
I think that they're still in the process of trying to do that, and I think that they have designated areas of where to put all that snow. I think at a press conference over the weekend, Mayor Menino suggested dumping all the snow in the Boston Globe parking lot.
That's good.
People might take him up on that offer. But yeah, I think that's one of the things that the Department of Transportation is still trying to deal with, is where to put this huge amount of snow.
What about the airport?
So the airport is open again. I actually am not 100% sure on whether they're back on their full schedule. I know that a few flights have been going out, but I think that there might still be some delays and some people who have to wait to figure out how they're going to be getting to where they need to go.
Yeah, I had a friend who came in on a flight yesterday morning that left Florida at 6. Got here basically on time, 9:30, but she said the runways, that was yesterday, Sunday, were still snowy. You know, there was a snow pack on the runways.
I wouldn't want to be that. No. We're talking to Globe reporter Martine Powers. She's been covering transportation this past weekend. Emily, let's hear from Christine from Quincy. Hang on, Martine. Let's see what Christine has to say. Christine.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm here. You want me to just...
Yes. Tell us what's going on. Yeah,
I work for a bank down in Whitman, but I do marketing, so I guess I'm non-essential. And I decided I'd better stay home and clear off the roof. I've got my driveway clear. Yesterday, I was clearing some snow off the roof, but I had to go out and buy a snow rake today. And I wanted to say that I congratulate Governor Patrick. I'm so happy about his travel ban. It helped us enormously. I live on Robertson Street in Quincy. We're a busy street. And we're an emergency route, actually. But when the sightseers get going here, it's life-threatening for those of us who are trying to walk up and down the street and clear out our driveways and stuff. So I wish it had been extended a little longer, but it was good.
That's a good one. You know, Christine, this snow roof thing. I live right next door to the Cashmans, Jay and Christy. I have a beautiful big home, but it's kind of a flat roof. And when you really looked at them, they were digging it late last night. There were two guys in orange vests up there.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like there was 36 inches of snow. That, and they were taking shovel at a time, walking to the edge of the roof and putting it into one place because they couldn't just throw it off the roof into the alley. They couldn't just throw it off the roof into the street. But they had to get that off.
Yes.
And it must have gone all night long because when I got up this morning, the first thing I did was check to see if their roof was empty, clear of snow, totally empty.
Yeah, and same thing for me with my little pocket balcony, trying to push the snow off because I didn't want it to weigh down and with this rain. So you were probably smart to do it. Were your neighbors hanging around, or did they go to work, or are you alone in your neighborhood this morning?
I can't really tell. I think that a lot of people have gotten up and gotten out. There's certainly been a lot of traffic on the roads. I did go out in the car to go over to the Home Depot for the snow rake, and then I took pity on a girl who was walking along, and the cars were spraying her, so I went to the spraying station. And so I have seen, you know, it's about a lane and a half of gush and glop out there, but it's passable. So
All right.
I was watching TV, and they were trying to sell people on these roof tablets. It looked like it had to be a joke. You throw these tablets onto your roof, and it allegedly melts it all off. What do you think? I know. That's what I'm
I've never heard that.
Bogus.
Yesterday, I was wishing I knew how to use a lasso. I would have tried to rope it off.
Oh my God! Same thing for
tablets.
You, Martine. Okay, Christine, thank you very much for calling.
Okay, have a good one.
No, thank you.
Bye bye.
Rob from Waltham, go ahead, please. You're on Boston Public Radio, 89.7.
Yeah, hi. I was just calling to say, you know, kudos to the governor for what he did. I think it was the right call. You know, I agree with what he did, and I don't mind at all us staying off the roads if it means getting the plows out there safely. And just to put a message out, you know, just kudos also to the public works employees. I mean, I know people are frustrated. We'd all love to have the streets cleared. We'd love to have our sidewalks cleared. It'll happen. This is extreme circumstances. They're working really hard. And just another snow story quickly. I didn't expect to get my mail delivered because there was a huge amount of snow in front
of my
house. And I watched my postal employee climb over it and deliver my mail today.
Really? So, today?
I don't know his name, but thank you to him because he went above and beyond, in my opinion.
Yeah, because Saturday there was no delivery.
Oh, my God.
That is as long as we're doing shout-outs, you know who I want to give a shout-out to? The mayor's hotline. I called yesterday, and a couple of my neighbors did, too, because they hadn't done the alleys, which were really a nightmare, the Back Bay alleys. I got the cutest young woman on the phone. Couldn't have been more pleasant. I said, you know, I can't figure out how to enter the address of an alley into the map on the thing. You know, you had to be very specific about your address, but it was the alley I was talking about. She says, let's see. Let's try to figure this out together. She calls up the page with me on the line. I'm on the same. She says, oh, I figured it out. You have to do this. You have to do that. I said, oh, that's good to know in the future. But she walked me through it. And by the way, I wasn't, you know, this is Emily. None of that. I wasn't like trying.
Right.
No, I didn't. You know, I did want them to plow my alley. Don't get me wrong. But I wasn't, you know, name dropping or anything. So, but they were great. They were great. And they answered the phone. My neighbors called, too. Everybody answered the phone. And we're very, very pleasant.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, thanks very much, Rob, for calling and for giving the shout out to the post office. They need it
now.
Martine, what's your sense of how Governor Patrick's travel ban has been received among, you know, the politicians and the other leadership folk?
I think most people have been pretty happy with that decision and agree that it was a pretty safe one. I mean, when you look at what happened in New York with, you know, dozens of people being stranded on the roads, you know, that definitely wasn't something that happened here. And that was because of the travel ban. And it wasn't just because, you know, the weather made it unsafe to drive during that time period, but also because, you know, as you all mentioned, that it makes it easier for the plows to get on the road if there aren't, you know, if there isn't a bunch of traffic blocking the way. And so I think what I've mostly heard is that people were happy with that decision, felt that it was a smart one, and we're glad that that Governor Patrick made it.
Thank you so much, Martine Powers, Globe reporter covering transportation this past weekend.
Thanks for having me.
We are Boston Public Radio, and I am Callie Crossley. I'm here with Emily Rooney, taking your calls about survival and post-blizzard. Though, Emily, Dave Epstein on Boston.com said it was not
a blizzard. I didn't get that.
Well, we'll talk about that. Anyway, it's 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. You can tweet us at Boss Public Radio or write to our Facebook page. So, yeah.
We're going to check in with David.
Well, I want to talk to him later, but let's get Aaron from Watertown.
Hello. How are you, ladies?
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing well. So my commute was Watertown to Quincy today, and what I experienced was a lot of road rage, and myself, but others.
Really?
I feel like in these conditions, we all need to take a second and realize we might be a minute late to work, and that's okay. But let's not leave that person in the middle of the intersection and prevent them from being able to make that turn because it's one lane instead of three.
You know, that's a really good point because our boss, Phil Radio, was saying this morning that he was on Storrow Drive. So was I. The lanes disappear. You can't start honking at somebody for being in kind of two lanes at once because one of the lanes, at least 8 feet of it, kind of disappears. So if you're straddling a line, so is everybody else. But sometimes you can't. You're honking at the person in front of you, not realizing that they're just following the line of traffic, and they're thinking, "Oh, you're taking two lanes, get over," but you can't get over.
Yeah, and I saw there was a woman that she just had to get through the intersection, so she ended up blocking the entire intersection because the light changed. where she could just scoot up a little bit and let someone through. I mean, it's just little things like that. Yeah. We all just take a second, take a breath. Mm-hmm. You might get to work a little later, but at least you'll be alive and not angry.
Exactly. Erin, thanks so much for the call. You're so right.
Thanks.
Emily, we're talking about NEMA. We're going to take a little break here while we take more calls from you at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970, and tweet us at Boss Public Radio. We're talking about NEMA. Now that we're digging out of this historic storm, we want to know how it's affected you from parking to power outages. And we're at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. I'm Callie Crossley.
I'm Emily Rooney.
And this is 89.7 WGBH. I'm Callie Crossley.
And I'm Emily Rooney. This is Boston Public Radio. We're continuing our NEMA coverage, checking your calls here at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. We want to know what's going on today. There were a lot of businesses that had to close over the weekend, Callie. As you know, Saturday was just a loss, even for the big department stores. All the big malls were all just shut down. Actually, a lot of restaurants were open.
Really?
Yeah. Saturday night they were, and Sunday they were all open. Stores in particular, and also, you know, access to some of these places. It's really interesting walking down some of these streets to see who has cleared their sidewalk and who hasn't. You know, Starbucks, they're very organized, but the parking lot people, you know, like Exeter Street there, they're totally organized.
Whole
but
Foods.
A lot of little, Foods, I'm sure they are, but a lot of little businesses, you're kind of on your own. So we're taking your calls here today, 877-301-8970. Are you forced to stay home yet another day? Did you go to work today? How was your commute going in? 877-301-8970.
Susan from North Falmouth. Go ahead, please.
Well, we lost power on Friday, and no heat, no electricity, no anything. So I'm a psychologist, and what really struck me is the difference between men and women, how they accept help or don't reach out for help. Because I have a wood stove and a lot of mattresses and can keep most of my home really cozy, a lot of candles, I reached out to people I knew had an electric stove, no way to cook, no way to eat. And every single guy said, I'll tough it out. You're 80-something, you're going to tough it out. I said, where are you calling from? He said, well, I've got my winter clothes on and I'm in bed. How about the travel ban is lifted? I'll come and pick you up, and you can. It's too complicated. I can tough it out. And that was for three guys, but a woman who's living on a boat said, "Oh yes, here I come."
Nice.
So my only problem right now is now that it's above freezing, I have the contents of my freezer in a snowdrift. But because I got plowed out, I have huge snowdrift. So I've dug an igloo and
that's cool.
My, stuff in and put a tarp over so it doesn't.
It'll be okay.
Trader Joe's pizza. Yes.
Yeah. That's great.
Good. Okay.
Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I've been told we'll get power Tuesday if we're lucky. Day if we're not.
North Falmouth.
Oh, my God.
That's awful.
Yeah. Falmouth was hard hit.
It looks as if a bomb went off. I mean, just branches snapped the mess.
Yeah, you guys had much more wet snow early on than we had here in the Boston and western and northern part of the state.
2 or 3 inches of cement.
So you are you on a battery-operated? Are you listening to the radio battery-operated? I mean, okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Okay. It's actually crank. I crank it.
A crank.
Oh, I love those crank radios.
Yeah,
oh, good.
I do too.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks so much, Susan.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Wow.
That's
since Friday. I would be very crabby.
Yeah.
She's
all right.
A psychologist. She's not crabby.
Yeah,
she's
exactly.
She's inviting all the neighbors off.
Mindfulness.
Over.
That's
Forget
what's
it.
Happening. Trish, you're driving to Manchester, New Hampshire. Go ahead, please.
Hi there. Yeah, no, I decided today I should get some of my errands done that have been being held up. And from Newberry driving to Manchester, and it's crazy. I think this is about the fifth car that I've seen off the road. It's not over yet, I guess.
Why are the cars going off the road?
You know, I even just saw an Audi, which, you know, you think of like an A4 with its all-wheel drive, you know. But this cars are just sliding off the road because of this wet kind of, it's become really, icky on the roads. And, you know, now it's, you know, my temperature gauge reached 32 degrees. So it's starting to even freeze up, I think, a little bit. So.
Oh, dear. Do you have to be out? I guess you do.
You know, I'm kind of now, after this last errand, I'm heading back home. And luckily, last week, I just did a super outback. So I'm feeling a little bit better about the fact that I'm out here.
Okay. Well, be careful because as the rain comes down, it's going to start icing over. And now and it's going to get really ugly out there. So just
maybe snow in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Time you get
Take it easy. Thanks so much for the call, Trish.
Thanks. Yeah, take it slow, everyone.
All right. We're at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. You can tweet us at Boss Public Radio or write to our Facebook page. We're taking your calls about your post, well, some call it a blizzard, some say a historic storm, experiences today. Are you back to work? Are you toughing it out at home still without any power, as some of our callers are? Or are you grumpy on the tee? Maybe an hour later.
Interesting about some of the other states, because I'm sure, you know, Vermont, New Hampshire, they would never, ever in a million years have a travel ban. I mean, they don't have the kind of congestion, but these are kind of normal. Snow dumps of 3 feet in Vermont, New Hampshire is not a big deal. But Rhode Island, Connecticut, I'm wondering why they didn't kind of follow the governor's lead here, because
Connecticut especially, because
they actually got more than we did.
Yeah. I think it gets to a point where even though the predictions are really pretty accurate, you just cannot believe it's going to be that bad.
Right.
So you do a guess about, well, I think we can allow people to get around this long. And then, you know, you guess wrong. And I think this experience will teach people, you know, shut it down early because it's not worth it. It ends up costing. Look, we're at $100,000 right now in terms of costs, or more than that, I think. But imagine what it would have been if people had been allowed to drive around.
And, you know, I am sympathetic to the people who leave their cars on the street. It's residential parking, after all, and they have a right to be there. But, you know, even if we went one step further and said only one side of the street, because if you have in some of these very narrow neighborhoods, you know, South Boston, Back Bay, all these places, if you have cars sucked in on both sides, it's almost impossible for a wide plow to get through. In fact, they were using these bobcat things, which are pretty cool. But that only then clears a small swath, and it builds up on the side. Some of these cars were, you know, impacted. One of my favorite signs, I actually took a picture yesterday and sent it to the WGBH website. The car was just packed in. It said, "We'll clear your car for $25. I would have been all over that if my car was into that. You know, $25. Where's the guy? Let me get the guy on the phone now.
They're probably inside, hunkered down. we want to hear from cab drivers and from other folks who had to tough it out and make it in no matter what.
There weren't too many cab drivers on there.
Well, I was grateful for mine. Thank you very much, Mr. Green.
That was Friday night.
No, that was today.
Oh, today.
Today.
Yeah, they weren't working Saturday.
Margaret for Marblehead. Go ahead, please. You're on Boston Public Radio.
Hi there. I just wanted to alert any of your listeners that it's not enough to make sure your flight's leaving on time. You need to check parking because all the parking lots at Logan are closed except for the economy lot that's way out in the distance, and you need to allow extra time if you are parking out there.
Why are they closed?
Probably because it's snow, right?
Probably. I would assume they're closed because of the plowing, getting the snow out, and because of just the congestion of people coming in. I'm just on my way back from the airport having to take my husband there. His flight was fine, but didn't have any place to put his car, so I had to drive him to the airport.
Oh, that's a good
tip.
Thank you very much, Margaret, for calling in with that. So folks know that you can't park, at least at this moment, out at Logan because the parking lots are full up, I guess, with snow. Thank you so much.
All right, we've got Isabel from Rochester, Massachusetts. Go ahead, Isabel.
Hi, ladies. I am calling. We live very close to New Bedford, Massachusetts, and we have been without power down here in what they call the Tri-Town area, which is Mattapoisett, Marion, and Rochester, since early Friday evening. Apparently, there's some main line coming into the Tri-Town area and into Wareham that's been damaged, and the utility people are having a hard time fixing it, and in the newspaper this morning, it said that they're going to try to get us back on by Thursday.
Oh.
But because most of us down here live in a rural area, our water pump's electric, so we're without heat, without electricity, and we have no plumbing.
That is grim.
No.
So what are you doing?
But for me, it's been a blast. Well, for us, I don't know how graphic you want me to get on the radio.
Sure.
We have been melting snow in pails and using that for our bathrooms.
Yeah.
And then we were pretty prepared before the storm. We're one of the very lucky few down here that we have a wood stove. So we've been cooking in our wood stove.
Oh, cool.
We also are tent campers. So we have a little, camp stove with propane. We have really warm sleeping bags. So we're actually, my family's in really good shape. Somebody came to dig us out today because we also haven't been able to leave the house. We got about 27 inches here in our yard.
Wow.
And the plow got stuck, so then they had to call in a backhoe to come get the plow out.
Oh, my God.
But finally, they got it all cleared, and I just got rid of my husband and my kids because I just could not take them anymore.
Where did you send them? Out to grocery shopping?
Well, my husband went to the dentist, and my children went to my parents' house in New Bedford, where they do have power.
Oh, good.
And my dog and I are hanging out by the fire, and it is wonderful.
All right, Isabel. Thank you so much for the call.
All righty. Bye-bye, lady.
Bye. That's a survivor.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Emily, I'm Callie Cross. I'm here with Emily Rooney, and we have Dave Epstein. This was not a blizzard, Dave Epstein, on the line.
What the heck are you talking about, Dave?
Well, you know me. I like to stir the pot a little bit, so... I wrote a blog this morning on weatherwisdomonboston.com talking about the fact that, you know, most places in Massachusetts, including Boston, didn't experience the definition of what a blizzard is. So it's just a semantic thing, but nonetheless, we have these criteria. Blizzard is a storm. It's any storm. It's not just this storm. It's a storm which creates 3 hours or more of 35-mile-per-hour winds, sustained or infrequent gusts, plus visibility of a quarter mile or less for 3 consecutive hours. And most of our stations just never reached it. It did in the coast of Maine, coast of New Hampshire, probably the North Shore, even though there's no observations in places like Rockport and up, if you're looking at parts of Gloucester, Cape Ann definitely probably ended up reaching a blizzard. But Boston, Framingham, some of the other places, Spencer that had one of the largest amounts of snow, they didn't officially have a blizzard. It was just a nor'easter with a heck of a lot of snow.
Well, Dave Epstein, who is Boston.com's meteorologist, and by the way, you can check his blog all day for updates on this. You got a lot of wind. You got 50-mile-an-hour wind. You can't see out your window, and the stuff piles up. I'm sorry, Dave. That's a blizzard. I just don't understand.
I understand. It's just the technicalities of kind of weather geekdom, I guess. You know, it was definitely a big snowstorm, and it was a blizzard for some. Is all that the point of the article was. And it was a little bit, it was a little bit to just kind of get people thinking about the way in which we kind of hype up storms all over the area now, especially over the past 30 years. But it was really about the fact that, believe it or not, some of these towns didn't experience a blizzard. It's kind of after a hurricane goes by, and then I tell people, that wasn't even hurricane-force winds. Mm-hmm. I think people are amazed. So the point of it is really, as bad as that was, in terms of a blizzard, definition, we didn't hit it. Now, you could have a blizzard with 5 inches of snow, believe it or not. The amount of snow doesn't matter in a blizzard. That's interesting. No, it has nothing to do with the amount.
Visibility.
Oh.
It's all visibility and wind. That's all it is. So you can have a blizzard with 2 inches of snow if the winds are blowing that strong. It's pretty neat what a blizzard is according to that definition. And some of my colleagues at other stations and other media outlets, we were chatting over the weekend about, do we need to change that definition? Does that definition make sense? Do people think of it differently?
Yeah.
So it was really to spur on a discussion.
Hey, Dave, I want you to put on your hindsight cap here for a second because we were talking on Thursday. You absolutely nailed this one. You said, hey, it's going to be fine. Actually, there's no reason to cancel school on Friday. But in hindsight now, do you think it was the right call to cancel school and put the travel ban in? Because really things didn't get bad until 4 o'clock.
Right. And that's talking in studio, and I think that the problem is if you had put in the ban, number one, I don't like to second guess anybody because I always say you're not a meteorologist and I'm also not a public official. So I think that the great thing is that so many roads are cleared and we are able to get around so quickly. And I think had that not been in effect, it'd have been a different story. So was it exactly right to put it in effect when we did? Could we have gone a couple of hours? Could the kids have gone to school and had a half day? You know, there's always going to be people who think differently. But like I said, that's not my job. And my job was to forecast it. And luckily, it all worked out.
It did.
Well, as a meteorologist for Boston.com, Dave Epstein, your job is to look into the crystal ball and tell us what's coming, because we keep hearing about this storm that's, you know, out there in the Great Plains coming this way, dumping some rain, but that we're going to get another dump of snow.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that will start to happen now is that people will, you know, we'll get a little bit panicky about, is there going to be more snow? I was just out of class this morning. I teach meteorology over Framingham State, and we were looking in class at the models. Today was the day, coincidentally, to look at the computer models. And I said, hey, let's look at this one. And lo and behold, one of them actually forecast a snow event here later on Thursday. So,
snow event. I like that euphemism. Yeah, it's not a snowstorm. It's not a blizzard. It's a snow event.
Well, how many inches, Dave? You're killing me here.
Well, so you know, again, we get to get back to this whole model.
Call the cab now. What?
Yeah, one of the models is saying that early Thursday morning, and we're talking in the wee hours of the morning, probably somewhere between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m. Remember, this is Monday. This is a ways out. The snow will start and then be out of here during the day Thursday. It's probably a 6 to 12-hour event with several inches the way it looks now, most likely Boston south and east for snowfall. But we'll have to watch the track. The thing could still go out to sea. It might not happen. But a couple of the models are showing accumulating snow here for, you know, a messy morning commute Thursday if things pan out.
Oh, great. Well, Dave, you're just such a guy
I'm
with good news.
I know, joy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this was kind of fun. I don't know about the second one.
Thank you so much, Dave Epstein, Boston.com meteorologist. You can check his blog all day for updates and to yell at the computer when he says it's not a blizzard.
All right. We're
Thanks,
taking,
Dave.
Taking your calls here today. Snow stories, 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. And we have Louise from Provincetown. Go ahead, Louise.
Hello. I just wanted to call because power went out basically around 7:30, 8 o'clock on Friday in Provincetown, and I don't know how other towns on the Cape fared, but with power out, the heat went, of course, and by the middle of Saturday, I was seeking information from any website I could find. The telephone service was also down, and what I learned later was that there were broadcast messages on the telephone, but both Verizon and Comcast were down. We had no internet service either, but I did have my smartphone. But the only thing I could find was, of course, television coverage or other web-based coverage, but there was no information on the NSTAR website, none on the Provincetown town website about any estimate of when there might be any change in this situation. So I loaded up my pets and headed for a friend's house in Wellfleet who had a generator. But it's pretty stupid to be sending emergency information by telephone service when you realize that telephone service is pretty much out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you learn lessons from these events. And, you know, that's one that I think somebody's paying attention to now. But, all right, how do we notify folks if the phones are out? There has to be a different way. But honestly, in any other scenario, probably the smartphone would work very well. So, you know, that's why it was the first way that folks thought about alerting the largest number of people. But I take your point, Louise. That's got to be really frustrating because you don't know what's going on.
Well, you don't know what's going on. And it's, you know, less than 50 degrees in your house. You've got water dripping from all the faucets. But you and the pets are freezing to death. So
did you get your power back yet?
Yes, we got it back 8 o'clock that night, but I'm glad I left because I didn't want to be driving in the blizzard and didn't want to be driving under those conditions late at night. But it would have been very easy for there to be some kind of posting on NSTAR, whatever other utilities.
Yeah. I'm surprised there wasn't.
Website, those town websites. There must be, there really maybe should be some state website that posts by town what's happening, because not knowing, I just felt I had to take the chance to drive to a friend's house because I wasn't going to go through another night of those kind of conditions.
Well, Linda, hopefully somebody's listening, and that's an excellent Louise. I'm sorry, an excellent suggestion because it makes so much sense. Thank you so much for the call.
You're welcome.
You know,
thank you.
Bye-bye. What else was good, City of Boston, Cali? That was that horrible tragedy on Saturday where the father in Roxbury and his son were digging out, and the kid said he was cold, and the father said, "Well, why don't you sit in the car?" And he kept the car running, and the tailpipe was backed up against a snowbank and the car filled with carbon monoxide. And unfortunately, the 14-year-old boy died. But we all got reverse 911 calls at home that night from the city of Boston, warning people of the dangers and not just sitting in cars, but all kinds of circumstances where you can get something backed up. And, you know, an airflow isn't working properly and just something to pay attention to. So it was effective.
And I have to say, I got a, you know, now that you mentioned it, I got a robocall from Instar, which I've never gotten before, with the number of if your power goes out, call this number.
Really?
Yes. And also, you know, make sure you have enough water, this and that, you know, just little tips, which I've never had before. I thought that's pretty interesting.
You know, so, I don't understand the whole thing with the phone system, because oftentimes when your power goes out, the phones still work. So they don't automatically always go down. I never understand that, when they work and when they don't.
Well, this is why I have a landline still.
I do too, my friend.
All righty. Mike from Boston. Go ahead, please. You're on Boston Public Radio, 89.7.
Hi. I just wanted to share with you the following observation. I drove up from Dorchester along Washington Street, and the police and the traffic people were very diligent in handing out tickets because people were trying to park on the street. And
when was that?
Within the last hour and a half. And yet I didn't see any snow removal equipment or plows.
Wow.
So it looks like we'll be paying for the next snow event with all this revenue they'll be raising with the parking ticket.
Yeah.
Because it seemed to be they had it reversed. You know, there should be more plows. From Washington Street in Dorchester to the financial district in the North End, I saw two plows.
Really?
But I saw plenty of other people writing tickets. So...
Well, that is just...
Yeah, the plows were not out this morning. You're absolutely
right.
They
only have half of the equation.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. I was thinking that this morning when I was going by all the meters. There's no way to even get to a meter, and there was no plows.
Nothing.
You know, going down like Boylston Street or Newbury, nothing.
Well, with all the tickets they're writing this morning, I'm sure they'll be able to pay for the next
one. Hey, you know what I want to know? Hey, anybody out there who got stopped by a Boston cop or, you know, a Franklin cop or the state police... for breaking the travel ban, give us a call. ID you.
Take
that.
Care.
You weren't one of them.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Give us a call, 877-301-8970. If you broke the travel ban and got
you can
stopped.
Tweet us. That's anonymous.
I want to know if anybody got arrested, anybody got fined, anybody's going to spend a year in jail, please call us.
yeah, that would be interesting. Jim from Brighton, go ahead, please. You're on 89.7 Boston Public Radio.
It's Dighton. We're down in Dighton.
Dighton. Big difference.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have a vegetable and animal farm down here. We produce eggs and meat and veggies in the summer. And we were out all night shoveling snow off our greenhouses and keeping the animals safe and keeping the barn roofs clear and stuff like that. We got just about 3 feet of snow in this area.
Wow. Here.
Yeah, it was quite a chore.
What about...
We broke the travel ban quite a bit, moving back and forth between farms and fields.
Wow.
What kind of animals do you have?
We have pigs and chickens, you know, but they're all, I mean, they're panicking. When it gets windy like that and the barns start shaking back and forth.
So, yeah.
Yeah, they need good protection.
But you managed to get to them in time and take care of them?
Oh, yeah. No, we're out every hour or so clearing the roofs off, shoveling back from the greenhouses, piling the snow up.
Are your barns heated?
No, they're not.
Oh.
No, not at all.
So you worked all night long?
Yeah, we worked all night long.
But yep. It's warm enough in there for the animals?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm happy you did it because I like bacon, but, you know, that's rough. That's rough, I got to say.
Yeah, it was. It's good, though. We're all cleared up now and everyone's happy.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Callie, you're
back. I'm Callie Crossley. We have WGBH's science reporter, Heather Hanley Goldstone, on the line. I'm here with Emily Rooney. Heather, how's everything down at the Cape?
Well, it really depends whether your power's on or not, I guess, how things are. I've been doing just fine, but we still have tens of thousands of people without power on the Cape and around southeastern Massachusetts. And then, of course, there are a number of unlucky homeowners who are facing the prospect of cleaning up and repairing damage from some coastal flooding and erosion.
Yeah, that flooding looked horrible, I have to say.
Yeah, there's some pretty dramatic photos and videos out there, both of the flooding and just of the beaches being completely eaten away. We had like a 4-foot storm surge in many places on the Outer Cape and into Cape Cod Bay. And on the Outer Cape, I was looking at one surf report that said they had almost 30-foot waves on top of that 4-foot storm surge. So some really significant action on the coast, and initial reports suggest we've lost something like 20 feet of sand along stretches of Cape Cod National Seashore.
Wow. Were there a lot of houses lost, period? I mean, whole houses?
No, you know, it's amazing. There are some cottages in Chatham out on a barrier beach called North Beach Island. And so far, it seems like only one of those toppled over out of the six that were remaining, which was a bit of a surprise to me. The rest of the seashore is largely undeveloped, so the issue there is not so much houses. There have definitely been stairways for access to the beach from parking lots and that sort of thing throughout the seashore that are damaged. In terms of home damage, that was more of an issue along the shores of Cape Cod Bay. If you think of Cape Cod like a flexed arm, the seashore is kind of the outside of the forearm. The other area that really took damage is kind of the bicep, that north-facing shore of Cape Cod Bay, Sandwich, Dennis, and Brewster. And that's where we've got some homes that have been damaged. I'm not aware of any homes that have been completely lost, but definitely both flood damage and wave damage.
Well, I got to figure that not a lot of people are going to work or trying to go to work. Are schools closed
that?
Yeah. What's going on?
Almost all schools on the Cape are closed today. So, yeah, we've got a snow day down here. Roads, at least in Falmouth, are the main roads are pretty clear. But sidewalks are not, secondary roads are not, and as I said, we still have tens of thousands of homes and businesses without power.
So they'll probably close school again tomorrow, you think?
Yeah, I would imagine.
You know, I'm not sure what to expect. I imagine it'll be a bit of a patchwork. I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if Falmouth schools are open. Falmouth is doing a lot better in terms of power. But other communities, I think it's going to be kind of hit or miss tomorrow. We'll have to see.
Hmm. All right, that's WGBH's science reporter, Heather Hanley-Goldstone, on the line from the Cape. Thank you so much, Heather.
My pleasure.
We're getting lots of calls in now, 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. Looking for your experiences today. What are you seeing out there? How has travel been for you? We've got Cheryl from Middleboro. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Hi, good morning or good afternoon. I told that Middleboro and Maine, I rode out the storm in Maine, and then I drove down yesterday. And your snow is much heavier and much wetter than the snow we had up in Maine.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Really?
Yeah,
it was wetter here, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. One of the reasons I was calling was to affirm, I remember the blizzard of 78 very clearly because I worked during that time. And I thought that Governor Patrick's travel ban was right on target. I remember the two tractor trailers that jackknifed on 128, the cars that got stuck, the drivers that had to get out. I worked at a hospital, and I was up in the tower for 4 days straight because of that storm and saw the 82nd Airborne come in to dig us out because of that traffic debacle. And avoiding that was absolutely necessary, I think.
I agree with you.
I agree with you too, Cheryl. And I would have gone one step further and said, frankly, you can't park on the residential streets either, at least one side, because that's where the big mess is.
The problem you have in the city that we don't have, I live in a top city in Maine that has basically a street parking ban, overnight street parking ban from November 15th to April 15th, but everybody's house has
off-street parking. I know.
Yeah.
They have that in Newton and Brookline here as well. Mm.
Yeah,
and so you've got the problems here that we don't have. But even not having those problems, there were lots of cancellations, et cetera. But with the wind, my car was totally clean when I went to roll out yesterday because the snow was
that much lighter,
and it was powder.
The cars are definitely sucked in here.
Oh, well, thanks for the call, Cheryl.
Okay, and a special shout out to Callie as we celebrate the 100 together. Have a great day, Sora.
Oh, thank you.
100th what?
Delta Sigma Theta's 100th anniversary. It's my sorority.
All right, well, congratulations on that.
Thank you. Mark from Renthrop, go ahead, please. You're on Boston Public Radio.
Hi, I just thought I'd add my gripe to the list of parking ban stories and tickets. After digging my car out for about 3 hours, I parked in front of my house for a few minutes, and the ever-watchful Winthrop police tagged me for $40.
No.
I guess that's a lot less than in Boston. But, you know, we went sledding anyway, so we'll have to chalk that one up to the blizzard or non-blizzard of 13.
Mark, how are they walking around, two ticket people? Because honestly,
I think they are driving around.
Okay, because you know Emily pointed out that you can't walk in. I mean, it's these drifts and these big piles of snow. Just trying to walk around to put the ticket on.
They're driving, yeah. In Winthrop, they're driving.
And I've yet to see any of the snow removal equipment. So that's still like you know.
Yeah, the snow removal equipment seems to have gone into hibernation. I noticed that too. We did have one of those little bobcats.
Thank you very much for the call, Mark. Yeah,
one of those little bobcats came through the back alleys of. Back Bay last night, late.
Uh-huh.
But those are those little tiny guys. But I didn't see any of the big heavy equipment out at all. I mean, they needed it out there this morning.
Where do you put the snow? Okay, so you're digging out the alley. Where do you put it?
I've got a story on that.
Okay.
So Bay State College is on Commonwealth Avenue, and they have a big back alley area. So last night, I was wondering how I'm going to get my car out of the garage. And they had hired a private bobcat company. The guy comes down. This is actually really good. He comes down the alley. He scoops up as much as he can, backs up, was dumping it into a dumpster that they hired.
Oh,
they
okay.
Put the college paid for the dumpster. But he must have cleared out, 5 tons of snow, including mine. Because would you mind doing this right there? So, but then he just left a wall that had to be 40 feet high. And I thought, well, how is the Boston police, how is the Boston plow going to get through this? Because he couldn't help it. He was kind of pushing it. It was a really tall, maybe 20 feet. But somebody got through it this last night. It had to have been another one of those little bobcats. But I tell you what they did with the snow. They just pushed it to the side. So anybody who had already cleared out their car, it was locked in again.
I just hurt for those people.
Yeah, it was bad.
Barbara from Kingston, go ahead, please. You're here with Callie Crossley and Emily Rooney.
Yes, good afternoon, ladies. I live in Kingston, Mass. And we've been without electricity since Saturday. And I myself have no communication except the cell phone.
And us. Now you have us.
Dies, that's that.
Wow.
And when I call NSTAR, because according to the last storm we had, all the governor and all the politicians got on all the utility companies because they were very lax. And they said, oh, don't worry, we have a new plan and everything's going to go smooth. Well, I really don't think it is going smooth because I realize the extent of the storm and everything. But when I called NSTAR, a very grouchy lady said to me, maybe you'll have it Thursday. And I said, at least you could be sweet about the whole thing.
Hmm.
So have you heard anything about when Kingston is going to have power restored? Because I can't even get anything on the radio.
The best I heard was from the governor saying that he was aware that people were waiting and that, he was just calling for patience because they had as many crews and a lot of people from out of state even trying to get those bucket things up and fix the wires and fix and get the power back on. So it didn't sound.
The street that I live on, there's been no activity on it. There's been I don't even think it's been plowed.
Mm.
And it's a, it's a main street in Kingston. Well, it's side street, but it's still, And I realized there was a tree down at the end, and 2 days ago they did get rid of that. But, I don't see any positive activity around here.
Yeah, that's always frustrating.
Yeah, that's very frustrating. There must be someplace for you to call in, as we were talking about to other people who've called in to say that there are some local hotlines. Emily talked about the Boston hotline. So I would try that if I were you as a resource. And hang in there.
Oh, I am.
Okay.
I had to call and let you know that whatever plan NSTAR and the governor worked on is not working.
Huh. Gotcha. Thank you. Okay. That's Barbara from Kingston. NSTAR, hope you're listening. Thank you. You have a good day, too.
That is awful.
It is. Really. By the way, Emily, a caller, Edward, called in and said Verizon phones still work during outages, but Comcast don't.
I wondered about that.
But now I have AT&T. So what is that? I have an AT&T landline, and it's working fine.
Well, you didn't lose your power.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's true. Good point. All right. Philip Martin, WGBH's Philip Martin, senior reporter, is on the line. Philip Martin, where are you? What's going on?
Kelly, Emily, how are you?
Hey, Phil.
Right. Now, I had basically concluded the weekend looking at what had largely been a pretty successful effort on the part of the governor's travel ban, for example, and on the part of various individuals who worked night and day to clear snow away from thousands of streets of throughout the state. That's my way of saying that I think they did a very good job of the lady. I was listening to the lady just a few minutes ago, and, mm-hmm. and sure, there have been some exceptions in the context of what had to be done. The enormity of the job is just, it's just dramatic. And so not everything is going to be cleared away. Not all lights are going to be restored. Not all power is going to be restored.
Well, it's kind of hard if you're the people who, as Governor Patrick said this morning, who you're the person that doesn't have any power. That's tough.
That's right. That's absolutely right. I'm trying to think of it as objectively as possible in the context of other disasters, other storms. In terms of, you compare the response this time around to the, for example, going all the way back to the blizzard of 78, you think about the thousands the hundreds of cars that were stranded on the roads during that blizzard compared to what occurred during this particular natural disaster. If you think about it just in terms of memory, you think about it in terms of history, there were just hundreds of cars stranded.
Probably thousands.
On Massachusetts Road. I'm sorry?
There probably were thousands.
Yeah, I think there were. I think there were. I also don't want to be accused of exaggerating the extent of the problem on the road at that time. But there were major emergencies they responded to that did not occur this time around. The result of hindsight, the result of advanced technology.
Yeah, well, all of that is good. I think you got a story with the people calling in complaining about getting ticketed. Because,
yeah,
you know,
outrageous.
I mean, what is that about? I mean, come on. The day after, when schools are closed, there's a story there, Philip Martin.
Yeah, I mean, these people he's in Winthrop and he clears out his driveway, pulls the car onto the street, planning to go sledding with his kids, and somebody slaps him a ticket while he's, you know, putting on his snow boots.
You know, I'm afraid I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two callers. Yeah. Said that the ticketers are out in force.
Even though the streets have not been plowed.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, no, there's definitely catch 22 there.
I think
I hadn't heard, no.
Yeah, well, there's a story there.
Get on it.
Yeah, glad to know that it's you're seeing improvement and it's better. Thanks a lot, Philip Martin, WGBH's senior reporter. I'm Callie Crossley, and I'm here with Emily Rooney. We're taking your calls at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. You can tweet us at Boss Public Radio or write to our Facebook page. I want to hear from a cab driver. My cab driver this morning was besieged and beleaguered. I was glad to get him, but I wanted to find out how many others are under the gun trying to just get as many people around as carefully as they can on these streets.
Edgar was on hold Saturday anyway for more than half an hour with a cab company, and I know the cab companies yesterday and today. Well, for instance, Kelly, you wanted a ride here.
Exactly.
You weren't about to take your own car.
No, so it's really, I'm interested. I hope a cab driver can take a coffee break and give us a call. Love to hear from those folks. And also people who finally made it in after maybe an hour or two of struggling on the T or driving in themselves. Well, we got some calls.
Well,
so that's Kirsten from West Newberry.
Sounds like she's got a dramatic story. Go ahead, Kirsten.
I'm actually a huge fan of snowstorms. I was born in the blizzard of 69.
Oh.
My parents talk about letting the cat out the window. And then in 1978,
hear your
that was
cat too.
My birthday weekend. And this storm as well fell really close to my birthday. But I spent Friday night in the height of the blizzard watching my neighbor's house burn to the ground. And so, even though people have a lot of nuisances and people are missing electricity and frustrated, it really puts everything in perspective.
What happened, you know?
It is temporary. You know, the blizzard's temporary for most people, but
What happened? Do you know?
Yeah, well, they've been having trouble with their heating system. They have a very elaborate heating system, and they'd been supplementing with a wood stove, which was apparently installed in a fireplace.
Oh.
Yeah, not really a permanent setup, and it got out of control at about midnight.
Oh.
And the winds and the blizzard made everything really difficult, and they just really didn't, the firemen didn't stand a lot of chance.
I'm surprised they could get down there, actually.
Getting a little emotional because I was watching it, but and I see their house right now.
Did they lose everything?
Yes, they lost everything. They got out, thankfully, but it's a massive loss. Yeah.
Wow.
So it just puts everything in perspective. The blizzard will end and everybody will get cleared out, but some people, are never going to forget this. So
thank you so much for the call, Kirsten.
You're welcome. Thanks.
And for reminding us about that.
That is awful.
Ron, go ahead, please. You're on Boston Public Radio, 89.7.
Good afternoon, ladies. How are we doing?
Fine.
Great.
Good. Yeah, I'm going down Route 3 right now. I just passed the Hanover exit, and 10 trucks from Carlisle, Pennsylvania, 10 big electric trucks are all going down this way. So the lady in Kingston might get her power today.
Oh, that'd be great.
Good.
I hope she's still listening. If you're still listening, there's help on the way.
Then I was coming down Route 228 over in Hingham at Route 3. That's all blocked off because there's a fire on Route 228.
Oh, gosh. And can the fire trucks get through?
Oh, they're already there. Yeah, they have 228 headed over towards Nantasket blocked off at Route 3.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling to give the woman in Kingston some hope, Ron, on the road.
Okay, you guys have a great day.
Yeah,
okay.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, that's the thing. You know, a lot of the way this works is the most remote areas get the service last. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
We were talking about during Hurricane Irene, I was up at Lake George, and we were the last people to get our power restored. There was 5 or 6 days out, but you kind of understand that. So the more populated community groups get served first. It's just the way it is. Now, she says she's in a main street or main area of Kingston, but usually they go by how many people are affected. So if it's, a handful of homes as opposed to tens or hundreds of homes, you're going to be low on the totem pole.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's been interesting hearing about post-blizzard stories of survival and moving forward, and we've enjoyed your calls. We're going to continue the conversation online at wgbhnews.org/BPR. We've been talking about Nemo. Bet a lot of folks didn't know that was the name of the historic storm.
As you know, the New York Times refuses to call it Nemo because that was a name made up by the National Weather Service and not anybody official. So we're going to have got other news we're going to be talking about today, too, as everybody heard this morning. Surprising news out of the Vatican. Pope Benedict is stepping down. We'll talk about what that means. He says he feels he's old and he can't really be effective, but it's the first time in 600 years that a pope has done that.
This is pretty amazing.
All right, I'm Emily Rooney.
I'm Callie Crossley. You're listening to Boston Public Radio.